We're looking at Daniel 8 and 9 as they relate one to another. Shall we pray together? Let's bow our heads. Father, you've been good to us, and I pray that you'd please continue to do as you have done. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the ministering angels. Thank you for your Son. We ask that you would please be with us as we speak together, as we learn, as we understand from your word, as you're sharing with us. May we be able to conceptualize what it is that your Bible is teaching in Daniel 8 and 9. Thank you for this, and we pray that you'd guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Daniel 8, and we're going to see something that helps us understand how it relates to Daniel chapter 9. So the Bible says in Daniel 8 and verse 13, I heard one saint speaking to another saint. He said unto that certain saint that spake, how long shall this vision concerning the daily sacrifice, I shouldn't even say sacrifice because it shouldn't be there, but there are some other words that shouldn't be there either. So how long will it be, this vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And the answer comes, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now it says in verse 15, it came to pass that I, Daniel, had seen the vision. Now see, in verse 13, they had asked the question, how long shall be this vision? The answer came, 2,300 days. Daniel says, I had seen this vision. It says there again in verse 15, I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. Then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. He didn't know who it was. It just looked like a man. It says there in verse 16, I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So now, he had heard the question being asked about the vision. He learned that the vision would go for 2,300 years or days in Bible prophecy. And he also had been able to hear that somebody commands Gabriel to help him understand the vision. And it says there in verse 17, so he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid. Remember? Why do you think they was afraid? Because I think these angels are taller than we think they are. I think we're talking about big creatures. And Daniel was not probably anybody who was weak. I mean, after all, he was a vegan vegetarian, right? Not always, to my understanding, he wasn't always vegetarian, because he did have the festivals during the year whereby the men were eating the various flesh of the lambs, etc. But in chapter 1, we do know that he ate whole foods with water. So anything that is sown, whether it be beans or nuts, legumes, plants like vegetables and fruits. So anyways, he's no small guy. He very well was probably trained in the martial arts while he was in the school of Babylon, because, you know, men were supposed to be warriors, right? But when he saw this angel, it says, I was afraid in verse 17. I fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So he heard about the vision, about how long it would be. He heard how long it would be. And then Gabriel's told to help him understand the vision. And then Gabriel says, you need to understand that it's for the end of time. This vision is. Well, in verse 19, it says, he said, behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. So we're talking about a time appointed in a vision. And there was a question about the vision. He heard that the Gabriel was going to explain the vision. And he heard the vision was going to be for many days. So obviously the vision is what's talked about, right? And who's the one that told Daniel about the vision? Gabriel. Now, we know from our last time together that in Daniel 8, verse 20 and 21, the explanation occurred. He started saying, now, the ram that you saw was Medo-Persia. The he-goat was Greece. Now, let's notice what he says about Greece, because he continues to explain. But then after Greece, he explains the next power that he hasn't yet explained. Notice it says in verse 22, now that being broken, which is the horn, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of that nation, but not in his power. In other words, not going to be strong like he was, because he was overtaking nations. Verse 23, and in the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king, this other king, remember that little horn came out of one of the four. So now this king is that one that came out of the four, and he's explaining in interpretation the vision that Daniel had. Are you with me? So it says, it will be a king in verse 23 of Daniel 8, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Verse 24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And we know that the Antichrist of Revelation 13 also was given power, but not of his own power. It was given by the dragon. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And that's the casting down of the stars and stamping upon them in verse 10. And it says in verse 25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall stand up against the prince of princes. Where is the prince of princes? In heaven. Where in heaven? In the sanctuary of heaven. And here in the interpretation of the vision, Gabriel is explaining that the Antichrist will exalt himself equal to where Christ is in the sanctuary in heaven. There again is that connection. It says there in verse 25 at the end, he will stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now, did the angel say who this last king was? Like he said, who the ram and the he-goat was. No, he didn't. So we need to understand that he was explaining without fully explaining. Because the question was, how long will this power continue? The answer came, 2,300 days or years. And Daniel was like, whoa. I mean, if it would have been like a week, if the answer would have come like, it's going to be 7 days. Daniel would have been like, whoa, man, 7 days, they're going to tear down the sanctuary. It's going to be crazy. But when the answer came, it's going to be 2,300 years, Daniel was like ready to faint. In fact, we know that he did that. Because we realize that he was overwhelmed with what he saw and the destructions of this power against the truth of God. And it overwhelmed him. So now, Gabriel has not yet explained who the power is. He's answering the question kind of twofold. Who or what the power does and how long he will last. But he doesn't explain who the power is. Because he probably would have said, the Gabriel that is, he probably would have said, there's Medo-Persia with the ram. There's Greece with the he-goat. And with this king that does all this crazy stuff that lasts for 2,300 years, that's Rome, right? But Daniel didn't get to that point because it says there in verse 25, or 6 rather, Gabriel is still explaining the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, it's true. Wherefore, shut up thou the vision, for it is yet for many days. Now I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and I did the king's business, and I was astonished at what? The vision. But how many understood it? None understood it. So now, what we have seen in this prophecy is Gabriel explaining to Daniel the majority of the vision, but not being able to, because he said, sum it up, seal it up, and then Daniel fainted. But Daniel was saying that I didn't understand the vision. Do you think Daniel wanted to? Well, yeah, because you just keep reading and you realize that he was studying the book of Jeremiah so he'd be able to understand what that vision was about. So the next chapter is talking about in the first verses where Daniel is studying Jeremiah. In verse 4, it says he prayed. And then verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. He's praying. So Daniel hears about a vision from Gabriel. Gabriel starts explaining it. He's not able to finish explaining the vision. Daniel's studying the book of Jeremiah, and he starts praying. The most of the book of Daniel chapter 9 is Daniel praying, right? So then in verse 20 it says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man who? Gabriel. Now wait a minute, Gabriel, we've seen Gabriel in the book of Daniel before, haven't we? Where was he? In what chapter? In chapter 8. So, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, and he says it, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Now, when it said he was caused to fly swiftly, what did we learn before in Ezekiel chapter 1? Like lightning. To and fro, like lightning. Not just to, not just fro. To and fro. And so, it says that in verse 22, he informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And so what happens is Daniel is not sick because of his previous experience and understanding of what happened with the daily and the 2300 years, but rather he is able to understand a little bit more now because Gabriel has been talking with him, and as it says, speaking in, he informed him, he was talking with him, and he gave him an understanding. So now, this is important to understand because Gabriel is a link between Daniel chapter 8 and 9. Why I'm bringing this up so importantly and so emphatically is because when I pastored in Grand Rapids, Michigan, there was somebody who came to the understanding that Daniel chapter 8 and 9 had nothing to do with each other. And how that the prophecy of Daniel 9 in verses 24 through 27 had really nothing to do with the Messiah. And so I was saying, now, okay, let me just go with you through the book of Daniel chapters 8 and 9. Is that okay? They said, yeah, that's fine. So it was this woman really that was the antagonist and her husband. We read through Daniel 8, just like we did now, looking at the vision in Gabriel. We looked at Daniel chapter 9, seeing that there was study of the book of Jeremiah and then prayer. That's the majority of Daniel chapter 9. And then Gabriel shows up again saying, I'm the one that was there in the beginning at the vision that you had before. And I remember when I said that, what vision is this? She said, oh, well, that's easy. That's Daniel chapter 8. I said, exactly. And she was like, oh. Because she was trying to teach me that it wasn't connected. But when you look at the evidence, it's connected. So it's very important to understand what's happening in Daniel 8 and 9 toward the end. So now, I know that most of you have gone through this prophecy, and you probably know it better than I do. But there are some things here that perhaps you haven't seen before, and that's where I am now going to plug in my projector to the computer, and hopefully it will work now. Okay, so back to where we were. This is now, what we're going to talk about is Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and rather 25 through 27, in a way that perhaps you haven't seen it before. Now, on the screen are the words. I'm going to show you, can you see my mouse there? Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build, what's this word? Jerusalem. Now you'll see that Jerusalem is in blue, right? Can you see that? It says, know and understand that you're going to restore and build Jerusalem. And then in the next verse, 26, you can see this line right here. See that line? It says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come to destroy the city and the sanctuary. What city and sanctuary was destroyed? Jerusalem, right up here, right? So the city and the sanctuary is what we're talking about. Now, how was it destroyed? Do you remember? Titus and the fire and all those things. Remember, there was the flame that came, first chapter of the Great Controversy. What it says in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall cause it, or make it, desolate. What did the Messiah make desolate? The temple. The temple, right? Which is in the city. And so you have Jerusalem in verse 25. You have the city, which is Jerusalem, and the sanctuary in verse 26. And then you have it, which is Jerusalem, or the temple in Jerusalem, which is the sanctuary, in verse 27. You see how that goes? The city is in 25, the city is in 26, the city is in 27. Now, notice what it says. I'm going to make this even bigger here so that we can see closer. It says in that same verse 25, after it's talking about the city, Jerusalem, it talks about Messiah the Prince, right? Now, in verse 26, it talks about Messiah being cut off. In verse 27, he, Messiah, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So the city, the city, the city. Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. Now, let's see what happens with, as we continue on, there's a brown or kind of orangish right there, burnt amber. It says 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is a time frame, correct? In verse 26, there's a time frame, 62 weeks. In verse 27, there's a time frame, 1 week in the midst of the week. So there's Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. A time frame, and a time frame. Notice also verse 25, where it talks about the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. In verse 26, it talks about war, which is troublous times. And in verse 27, it talks about the consummation that will be poured out upon the desolate. And we know that during the time that 70 years into the new Christian era, there was a war and destruction against that city. So there was troublous times or war, troublous times or war, troublous times or war. Are you seeing what's happening there? Now, I think it's very difficult to take that scripture, the 70-week prophecy of Messiah, and apply it to the Antichrist. Many people today are saying that verse 25 is dealing with the Messiah, verse 26 is dealing with the Messiah, but then they'll take 27 and apply it to the Antichrist all the way at the end of time after the rapture. That's what happens with Tim LaHaye and all the nonsense that goes on with the rapture theory. Okay? So what happens is, when you look at the verses themselves and you compare with what's going on, you have parallelism. There's parallelism in verse 25, 26, and 27. There are four things dealt with in 25, four things dealt with in 26, four things that are dealt with in 27. Do you see that? Now, you need to understand this because when you go out and share with people that do not understand the Adventist view of this section, you're going to meet them saying that verse 27 is the last week of tribulation after the rapture. And you're going to say, wow, that's really interesting. Where are other places from the Bible that you can share that? If they're honest, they'll say, this is it. This is the one section. And then they're going to take portions of the book of Revelation and try to put them in there. But you're going to be able to say, now, let's really see what this section is talking about. Verse 25, verse 26, verse 27. There's four things, four things, four things. And they're going to come away saying, wow, why did I believe what I did? And you're going to say, I don't know. But let me tell you what it means. And then you're going to be able to explain to them that the Messiah has been prophesied. At the building of the city, there's 490 years, right? 483 years will take him to the baptism, which in the midst of the week takes you to the cross, and at the end of the week takes you to this stoning of Stephen, where the gospel goes to the Gentiles, leaving how many years after? 1810 years after, which brings you all the way to 1844. So you must start out with this section, with a non-Seventh-day Adventist, to be able to help them understand that this is all cohesive together. You see? So I hope that this is a benefit to you. I hope this is a blessing whereby you'll be able to know and understand better how to share this prophecy. Because you know what the devil has done? Okay, interesting. You know what the devil has done? He has taken what should apply to Christ and he's applied it to Antichrist. You know what he did in Daniel chapter 8? He took what should apply to Christ and put it to Antichrist. Yes, I know Antichrist is there, but it's really dealing with Christ and the ministry in heaven. That's the focus of Daniel 8, is the sanctuary being attacked. Who did it? Paganism and papal, right? That's who did it. But the whole thing is, what did they do? They attacked the truth of God. So now, if you ever wanted this graphic, whereby you could download it, you can print it, you can put it in your phone or on your computer or whatever you want to do, it's at the Revelation with Daniel website. If you can't find it, send me a link. I will send it to you. It's no problem, okay? Or send me an email through Revelation with Daniel. You can go to the contact there. So now, that's all I wanted to share about Daniel chapter 8 and 9. I'm hoping that that will be a good thing for you to know, is Daniel 8 and 9 flow together because of the vision and Gabriel, right? And Daniel 9, 25, 26, and 27 flow together because of the four things that are dealt with each verse.